Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You're listening to Rabot and Co. here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabot.
Oh, hump day edition of the show here, back in the studio looking at the beautiful face of one Zach Cantrell. My name's Louis Rabot, at Radio Louis on Twitter. This is Rabot and Co. on ESPN 680, 105.7, at ESPN 680 for the Twitter feed for this place, ESPNLouisville.com, your smart speaker, your car, your phone, jogging around. Met a jogger yesterday at the remote, hanging out. Appreciated that, listening to the show, jogging around. I can't imagine the motivation one gets from this show, except that my fat voice probably motivates you to stay thin. So there you go. Welcome in to this show.
Whatever works.
Reggie Bush's Heisman thing gets announced as I'm driving to the station. Thank you very much, everyone. I had a different open plan. That is evergreen, and so we could get to it another time. Gandolfo will join us in the next segment after his appearance on the Algonquin Roundtable, as someone called it on the text line yesterday. Zach, that was a show that I've always... Those are the kinds of shows I love doing, because there are people, you know, someday, Zach, you will be a famous man. You will be Colin Cowherd. You'll be living in L.A. You'll be on your third wife. It'll be a whole thing. And you'll be able to say, you know what? It's derby time. I'm going to go find that Louis guy. He was nice to me once. I'm going to go find that Louis guy. He bought me a sandwich once. And I'll sit on that couch. And it'll be the cant. With Zach Cantrell.
Yeah, it sounds about right. All of those things. All of the above.
And you'll have some female co-host you don't like. It'll be a whole thing.
Oh, no, I'll like the female co-host.
Will you advise her to stay in her lane?
No, okay, probably not.
Good for you. That's a good plan from you. But Reggie Bush...
She can pick whatever lane she wants.
That's another good way to live. Reggie Bush gets the Heisman back. And it's interesting. The part to me that's most interesting is two-part. I should say. The first is, do people remember how public Reggie Bush was about his disdain for the Heisman Committee? Do people remember that? Like, 2021, he went public, like, went way after them about people aren't picking up my calls, they're not returning emails, like, I can't even hear from these people, what is going on? The compensation thing has changed, I'd like my Heisman back. Now, the thing I like about Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back is that at no point was he like, no, I didn't do those things. He's like, yeah, we got a house. What's up? USC, baby, 2000, let's go. But Zach brought up an interesting point. And by the way, I'm just looking at Thamel's article. It dropped at 9 o'clock on ESPN.com. Every single reaction is a heart, a celebration, or a fire emoji.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody push back.
People are overwhelmingly in favor of this.
Yes.
And I think it goes back to the conversation I've been having on this show since last week Thursday, which is this just, you know, that the Rupp Arena introduction of Mark Pope and the embracing of a guy like Pat Kelsey, knowing he's not coming in with the resume that, you know, a Patino or whatever in this place. And are we getting back to just embracing the athletes, embracing the programs, a real overall push against the NCAA in this case, right? Against what appears to be a lack of fairness. And I wonder if we're just having these reactions over and over, but you're way more fired up about this than I am, Zach, mm-hmm. So I'm going to let you go here. I don't have a strong reaction to this, only because in my mind, he was still always the Heisman winner.
It's about
now,
time.
Now, I understand. That never went away for me in the same way that the banner in the Yum Center to me has never gone away.
Mm-hmm.
It's never gone away in my mind. I don't care what anyone says. about a piece of cloth hanging in the rafters at the Yum Center. Louisville won the national title in 2013 unequivocally. It's not a question in my mind. In the same way that everyone else who's ever won a national title has won their national title. So I don't get worked up about him getting the actual trophy back. Now, if I were in his camp or a USC fan, I'd probably feel different. I get it. I really do. But in this case, I've never not thought of him as one of my favorite players to watch ever.
Ever, yes.
And this is kind of where I wanted to go with this conversation, and I will let you burn. Just how awesome college football is. Because Reggie Bush is a reminder of that. Where USC is not a team that I care about. But damn it, I remember those pants with those two stripes going down the sides and how fast he made those damn pants look. Mm-hmm. I remember Jeff... Jeff Leinart. Good Lord. I remember Matt Leinart with that left-handed delivery, that beautiful, almost Ken Griffey Jr. swing beauty of a left arm.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy. Wendale White. Gets in there and just bashes people.
Yep.
Right? You got the 1-2 punch. You got all the receivers. What'd they have? 50, 60 receivers get drafted the first three rounds.
Yep.
Just how fun those teams were. And God bless America. I hope we get back to some of that, man. So, yeah, it's extra. Reggie Bush was so electric at USC. 100%. And that's what I remember. So him getting the Heisman back, I guess I do care in that I want people who earn things to have the things that they earned, right? It reminds me of, anyways, I'm not going to do a horse racing correlation here, but, you know, just the watching people get those things back, it does matter. And I also can't say that I'm against them building a statue for Stoops and then not care about the Heisman statue.
Correct.
I'm not allowed to do that. So I'm not going to, in totality, to me, he's always been the Heisman winner. He'll always be the Heisman winner for that year. And frankly, I'll always remember how freaking awesome he was as a player. And frankly, he was an underrated NFL player, too.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty good in the NFL. And I know he's not a Hall of Famer in the NFL or anything like that, but if you last 7-8 years as a running back in the NFL, it's a good career, man. So go ahead, Zach.
Oh, he was longer than that in the NFL. He was a part of a Super Bowl winning team with the Saints and was a major part of that.
No.
And he rebuilt that franchise along with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. People forget that.
Really good player in the NFL.
But when you talk about the most memorable college football players of all time, everybody always brings up Reggie Bush because he is one of the most electric players this game's ever seen. I will, when I die, there will be about 10 players that I remember their highlight reel above everybody else, and he will be one of those guys because he was that spectacular. And those USC teams were a lot more fun to watch than the Alabama teams, the Georgia teams. There was a flashiness to those USC teams that makes them memorable. Fantastic. Just beyond the fact that they won multiple championships. But the reason that this is long overdue is because they were insulting us as sports fans. They were saying the 2005 Heisman Trophy is vacated. We all saw Reggie Bush was the best player in 2005. We all saw that he won the Heisman Trophy, and he deserves the recognition for having won the Heisman Trophy. Same thing applies to the 2013 Louisville team. That team should absolutely have their banner hanging. You want people to recognize and to be able to look up and see 2013 national champions, because not everybody is going to say that they were there when Louisville won the national title in 2013. So for people that are younger, people that weren't around for it, they can look up and see, oh yeah, 1980, 1986, 2013. That should be hanging in the rafters. The 2010 Ohio State team should get all their stuff back because the NCAA had the audacity to punish Jim Tressel and ostracize that man for tattoos, of all things. That should be brought back. Everything that the NCAA has vacated the last 15, 20 years, which is always the dumbest punishment in sports because everybody remembers those things happening, that should all come back. And by the way, credit to Johnny Manziel. He was the guy who made this happen.
You're right.
Johnny Manziel said he would not attend Heisman Trophy ceremonies until Reggie Bush got his Heisman back. So credit to Johnny Manziel for taking a stand and putting pressure on the NCAA to do something.
What a freaking sentence that is. Credit to Johnny Manziel for taking a stand.
I know.
You're not wrong, by the way. You're actually not wrong.
I know.
What a weird chapter in sports, though, right? And this is what I was talking about the last few shows. Is just not the sports healing themselves. I don't want to be that dramatic, but just the reaction to the reaction, right, to the new movements. And there's been now a reaction to these vacating. And by the way, I think today's a really good day for Louisville basketball.
Yes.
I think it's a day closer to the banner going back up without any kind of stipulations.
It's happening.
I agree with you, actually.
Because the punishment...
This is just another domino in the NCAA going, oh, crap, we have to appease people or we're going to go.
And the other part of this, Reggie Bush, everything he did off the field had no impact on what he did on the field. There was no on-field cheating. There was no sign stealing. There was none of that. He took money. Guess what? 90% of college athletes, I'm sure, back then were taking money.
We simply don't want to play the what-about game
you
about
don't
people
do
getting
people don't
money.
Want
I agree
to do
with that part.
People want to fool themselves into thinking amateur
Well, no, what I'm saying
athletics.
Is we don't want to start the what-about game.
No.
Only because it would eventually... involve is what you're describing. Many, many, many people. Many,
it's
many.
It's
going
to involve
people.
Your school. You're going to say all eventually, these guys these cheated. Things, you cheated too.
Yeah. I know. Like I said, though, the reaction is very universal here, as far as I can see. And you know, that's a little surprising, but.
It's one of the few things that everyone agrees on.
That's right. Reggie Bush's lateral in the championship game was awesome. His teammates buffed him. He got the blame, though. Oh, that guy, so many. It's the butt.
The Bush push.
The Bush push, that's right.
One of the most memorable plays in the history of college football.
No question. In Notre Dame Stadium, the grass was easily 6.5 feet tall.
And he had three touchdowns.
It looked like the savannah, and they were still balling out of control.
I remember him rushing for a billion yards in that game and then having the push. My dad texted me. He said, Matt Leinart should push Reggie Bush onto the Heisman stage because he's allowed to come back. Return the push.
That's a good idea. I actually texted her.
My dad's a Notre Dame fan, too, so it hurt him.
There you go. I get it, man. No, once in a while, though, someone beats your team. We talked about LeBron the other day beating my Pistons, and I remember being like, wow, that was a lot. That was a lot. Good for him. Texture, the stutter step on the sideline was incredible. Texture, using Reggie Bush on NCAA football was a cheat code.
We made rules. You can't play with Reggie Bush.
Yeah, it's exactly
we
right.
We had two rules. You couldn't be USC, couldn't be Reggie Bush, couldn't be Texas, couldn't be Vince
Young. Yeah, Vince Young. Yeah. Right. Texture, those USC teams were the college football equivalent of the Showtime Lakers. They were fantastic. It really was. It was really fantastic. Same texture. I literally thought he would score every time he touched the ball. Awesome. Yeah. Reggie Bush is another of many athletes globbed onto by the Kardashians. Oh, yeah, you betcha.
Well, it's a long list.
He's the most successful. Yeah, right.
Yeah, not texture. Lamar Odom.
That poor guy. Texture, curious, how many words do you think Zach could say without taking a breath? A couple.
Thoughts. A lot.
Yeah, a lot. He was not at the cigar. He's not at the cigar store yesterday with us. He's got all his oxygen. He's doing all right. Oh, man. But yeah, so there you go. The other thing I wanted to do, if people want to send them in, 437-9680 on our UPS jobs text line, what are the other NCAA or sports things that should be overturned? You brought up the Armando Galarraga. Perfect game. Why have a commissioner? That one for sure. I think if you have a commissioner, why have one if you can't overturn that? It affects no one.
Nobody.
It affects no one.
It was a 3-0 game. It's not like the Indians were going to win.
The next batter was out.
He was out. Yeah.
With Armando Galarraga staying in the game, by the way. They didn't switch pitchers.
Correct.
I mean, anyways.
Barry Bonds being in the Hall of Fame.
Barry Bonds Hall of Fame. Pete Rose Hall of Fame is the other one.
Those are the other two big ones.
Yep.
Those should be locks.
Is there another team you brought up another team in the back, 2010
Ohio State.
Yep.
The whole tattoo scandal.
Yep. 13, obviously, Louisville.
13, Louisville. I got to say, Fab Five.
Oh, Fab Five. That's a good one.
Fab Five.
That's
a good one. Get their banners back.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Nothing they did on the court was impacted by the sanctions. Chris Webber taking money had no impact on them winning games.
Jalen Rose being awesome. Yeah, right.
Look, so we should make a trade. Fab Five gets their stuff back. Michigan football gets their stuff taken away.
Ohio State does, yeah.
Yeah, Ohio State gets their stuff back, too.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to say Michigan football should get their stuff taken from last year because that was a competitive advantage. Most of these things we're talking about were not competitive advantages. If you cheated and gained a competitive advantage, that's when
I wish I had a better opinion on the Michigan stuff, too. Because I approach that from I assume everyone's cheating. And do you get in trouble when you get caught? That's the question in my mind.
You do. That's what happens.
Texter, can't talk about Reggie Bush without bringing up Josh Chichester highlights, the GOAT. Yeah, dude, that's a good one. Chichester was. Have you done the YouTube about Chichester?
Of course.
Okay, good. All right, okay. Texter, Pete Rose coming down. Paterno and Penn State is an interesting one.
Not touching that one.
Don Dekinger in the 85 World Series. Man.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, the blow call.
But there was still a man on first, nobody out. You can still get out of that. It's not like it was the last out of the series. But it's up there.
No, it's a good one. It's a really good one, actually. Sure. I can still see that play in my mind, that AstroTurf, the whole thing.
If we're going to do that, then the Tuck rule.
Oh, the Tuck rule is a good one,
that
man.
Because game's over if they call
that
correctly.
The Tuck rule is a good one. Derrick Rose's fake ACT score. That's a good one. Of course, the horse racing equivalent here is justified now, and in the courts even, on the horse racing side. Failing a drug test from the Santa Anita Derby, which qualified him for the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wins the Triple Crown. That's the ultimate horse racing one. It's not even a question. What do you do about that? Because right now he's got all the records.
That's right.
They're not changing it. So.
Yeah, Dad said Notre Dame. Yep, Notre Dame. I talked to you about that as well. Notre Dame, when they self-reported the Tudor stuff going on.
Oh, that was it. Yes.
Yeah, and the NCAA cracked down on them.
Crushed them for
it. They vacated the 2012 and 13 seasons. And, I mean, North Carolina has had fake classes for 30 years and got nothing.
Yeah, the what about is really tough. Texture, how does Reggie Bush getting his trophy back affect the Dallas Cowboys?
Yes, there it is.
Thank you, Texture.
Yes.
That started to populate my Twitter timeline, too, which I love.
Reggie didn't. He never played for the Cowboys.
He did not. He did not. He did play for my Lions at one point.
He had a season where he had negative rushing yards. You remember that?
I do. It's great. Oh, man. Has Angel Cabrera been released from prison yet? Man, that's a good question.
Oh, Angel Cabrera should be put out to pasture. Whoever the ump was in the Yankee game the other day, that guy should be fired immediately.
All right. I'm going to plead ignorance here. The 1971 WKU Final Four appearance.
That got vacated. And the 71 Villanova team got their Final Four vacated.
The 24th all-time appearance in the NCAA tournament. Third place finish in 1971, which was eventually vacated. Villanova 71 was vacated.
Yep.
Good Lord. Did anybody actually play in 1971?
UCLA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They weren't getting anybody.
No, they got...
Good Lord. God.
Yeah, Jerry Tarkanian got
the
probation
way,
at Long Beach State.
This Western Kentucky team, dude, their resume is wild. It's really, really good.
Jim McDaniels.
Yeah, John Oldham, of course, John was coaching Oldham at that point. Yeah, yeah.
Because it was Jim McDaniels signed a contract with an agent.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Same thing happened with Marcus Camby in UMass in 96.
McDaniels had signed a professional agent prior to the tournament.
Howard Porter, same thing at Villanova.
Okay. You know what? This show's taking it up. We're doing it.
We are.
WKU gets their banner back. We're doing it right now. An agent before the tournament, not even money?
Just an agent.
Okay, we're doing this. We need 10 years prior to my birth, we're doing this. Yep. We are becoming the WKU show until this happens.
Chris Carter gets his last year at Ohio State because he signed with an agent, didn't get any money.
God, he had to set it out too, didn't he? Oh, man. Oh, Cal State Fullerton's foul ball against U of L in 2015. That's a really good local one. That was foul for sure. I agree. Texture, Shoeless Joe Jackson. That is a very famous one. Yep. Texture does...
Angel Covert. Yeah.
The golfer.
Yeah, the golfer. Yeah.
Texture, Saints versus Rams 2019 playoff game with the pass interference.
Yes, that's the ultimate one.
It was obvious a fourth down. For the NFL, it is.
Yes, that's the one for the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, because like the Megatron touchdown doesn't matter because it's a regular season game. Right. Like those sorts of things.
If they call that interference, the Saints are in the Super Bowl and they probably win it.
That's the difference. That's why it matters. Yep, Des Bryant thinks his catch should be restored because of this Reggie Bush story. That's how it affects the Cowboys.
That's good.
I didn't know about this 71 WKU team. I didn't know enough. All right, that's it. We're doing it. I'm in. Let's figure this out.
Everybody gets their banners back.
Everybody gets banners. I'm putting back all the banners in this state. You understand me? I'm a carpetbagger from the north, and I'm bringing back the banners. You understand me? You understand me, Zach?
Yes.
Texture, have you ever heard Lebatard naming all the great running backs that have less rushing yards than Tom Brady? That's funny.
I have.
Oh, man. Right on. Louis coming down on the sack. We got to do it, man. I'm telling you. That one's easy. This is the conversation. Because a guy like Scotty D is going to jump in. Oh, no, we're doing it for sure. All right, take our first break here. Talk to Mike Gandolfo on the other end. He is presented by our friends at J. Shepherd Cigars. We were out there yesterday. Pop by there. The Casa Pastor cigars are available. He's going to have Jorge in from Jorge Cigars all next week. And he's going to be rolling cigars fresh out there. If you haven't had a fresh rolled cigar, gotten to try that experience. Very, very fun and very unique. Great flavor, great taste, great draw usually with those things. Oh, the banner's hanging in Diddle? Okay, good. Good. He just vacated in the record books.
Morgan brought it back.
We're going to the record books then. I don't care. This is my crusade now. We're doing it. We're putting it in the record books. Me and Nick Curran, we're doing the damn thing. Want everybody to understand that. Mike Gandolfo next.
We'll be right back.
Show here on ESPN 680 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabeau.
Welcome back in. 10 o'clock hour, hump day edition of the show here, Rabeau & Co., ESPN 680 105.7. Make sure you check out some of the programming going on around here, including tonight. Dan McDonald will be on 93.9 at 6 o'clock, right after the drive with Mark Ennis. Of course, Reds Phillies tonight, 6:10 here on 680 105.7. Following Dan McDonald on 93.9, we will have Louisville Sports Live. As well, a man who will not be listening to Louisville Sports Live joins us on the phone. His name is Mike Gandolfo. Good morning, Mike. I heard you're doing a podcast tomorrow. How are you?
It's tomorrow, Thursday. Yeah, I am doing this little derby draft. I'm doing good, man.
How about that? Mike is...
I'm in Danville today, you know?
How about that? We had someone jog by yesterday, say they were a listener of the show, and that they work at Center College. How about that?
Yeah, like you might be buying a home with us, so you're in Danville, so, you know, we'll see what happens.
There you go. Mike Gandolfo with us at Big Mike Gandolfo. He will be on our Derby Draft tomorrow. You can catch that anytime. Watch it on Spotify. It is Steve Kornacki from NBC, of course, Travis Stone, the voice of Churchill Downs, and our friend Caitlin Free. You've heard her on this show. She'll be joining us for the draft tomorrow. She'll be on the track feed for the Derby itself and, of course, all the happenings at the CDI tracks with Turfway Ellison, of course, Churchill Downs. Our coverage next week, by the way, this show, normal time slot, Monday through Thursday, and then Friday we'll go 10 to 1, and then Saturday 11 to 2. 6 hours of Derby radio after four other days of radio. Mike, how much will you dislike me by Saturday?
Not at all. I mean, you got to remember, that's still less than what I was doing at the very beginning. I did 13 hours 1 year of radio for Derby coverage, so it was a lot. So the six is going to be easy. You're easy to talk to. I get along with you pretty well. You know, your show's getting an upgrade because you get me every day next week. You know, all that kind of stuff. It's all good.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I want to thank the folks hanging out with us for coverage next week. Of course, the HBPA, KYHBPA.com. Got a bunch of great articles this week. Our friends over at Mays Plastic Surgery, his med spa over there, will be doing the draft from Chet's locker room. They got a men's locker room at this place, Mike. I can't wait to walk you through there. And, of course, our friends at Horseshoe Indianapolis and Caesars up there just east of Indianapolis.
I just want to know how many times I'm going to walk through Chet Mays and how many guys are going to be like, I want to look like that.
Oh,
that's going to happen, right?
What I worry is how many women are going to want to. That's what I worry.
That's right. I want the beard, the whole thing.
Can I get that hair is essentially what I expect to hear. He's right. Mike Gandolfo joining us here on Rabeau & Co. ESPN 680 105.7. Hey, he's been coach for 10 days or so. What are your initial reactions to Mark Pope's first week and a half or so on the job?
It's pretty much, I guess, as expected. You know, the staff is filling out. Looks like the last key member of the staff is going to be announced here pretty soon with Alvin Brooks III. Got some Kentucky roots there with his dad. So, you know, we'll see, we'll just kind of see how the roster continues to develop. I mean, I'm not one of these guys that feels like they've got to go get these, like, a super big name. I'd rather him take his time, get his right dudes, the guys that are going to work for him, and make sure that he can set himself up for as much success as possible in that first year. So, you know, I think it's about what we expected so far, I mean, or what I expected. I think he's put together a good staff. I really do. I mean, he brought the guy from BYU with him, who's the mastermind behind the offense that they run.
Yep.
And again, I think that people are going to maybe be surprised about how good this offense really is. And they went out and getting Alvin Brooks III, getting the on Hart from the with the NBA experience. I mean, he's putting together a pretty good staff, so we'll just see how it all plays out.
Mike Gandolfo with us. What do you think the team will look like under Mark Pope? And let's just first year what it might look like, and then going forward what it might look like. You talked a bit yesterday over at Jay Shepherd about what your expectations, and you've tweeted even, hey, look, Mark Pope's recruits are not going to look like Cal's recruits. They're not going to be the same. You know, not worth doing the comparison work there. I don't want to put words in your mouth at all, but what do you think that's going to look like the next couple of years?
We probably won't have as many draft picks. You know, I mean, we might have guys that come back for three seasons. You know, I think that's the reality of it is the experience at playing at Kentucky. And, you know, we talked about it yesterday on the radio, and I really started thinking about it. You know, they were talking about how the only thing that these 18-year-old kids really ever know about Kentucky basketball is the John Calipari era, and they don't really know the history and the tradition. And then I go back and I think about, like, a guy like Mark Pope, who commits to Kentucky in the mid-90s, and really probably knows a little bit about Rick Pitino and Kentucky Shame, and probably didn't pay too much attention to Eddie Sutton that happened before that. And he had no idea he has an idea that it's a name brand in college basketball. You know, that doesn't go away. Kentucky's a name brand to these kids in college basketball. And then when you get there, the history and the tradition is something that just you absorb over time, and it becomes part of who you are. And that's going to be something that hopefully that these kids really embrace, that they get a chance to play at a school with that kind of history and tradition, and add their layer of that history and tradition. And I think that he's going to have more success with less talent. That's at the end of the day what's going to happen. And because what they're going to do is more systemized, and the system with the right pieces is going to be successful and going to create successful players. But we, you know, might be a couple years before they have somebody drafted in the NBA, and that's okay.
What? And Mike Adolfo with us. What? What's up?
I thought you were like, what?
Oh, no. Someone texted something very funny on the text line, and it bumped me for 3 seconds, and now 10 to 15. What are your expectations for this coming season? Do you expect to make the tournament?
Make the tournament, win a game would be nice. Love to get to the second weekend. I think all those things are very possible with Mark Pope. But again, we don't even have a roster yet, so it's really hard to say. You know, I want this guy, want him to be able to build this team, come in, and but I do think that all those things are very possible, that he can make it to the second weekend, that he can win a game in the NCAA tournament, play on Saturday and Sunday maybe if we're lucky in the SEC tournament. All those things would be really what it's really some progress that we're looking for. So
you've talked about something recently that I found intriguing, because when you go to Rupp, the banners are for Final Fours and for titles, and the idea of the SEC and what it means, and I wonder if other fans feel the same way as you, and I just, it's a blind spot for me, which is, you talked about winning the SEC yesterday and how much that matters. You talked about, and I think for me from the outside, the trip to Nashville thing is more of it's a cultural event for BBN, if that makes sense. And I don't want to, you know, this isn't some gallery opening at the, you know, at the Speed Museum or something, but no, it is a cultural event. Like, people plan their vacations around that. They plan their, you know, their spending and their sorts of things around that. You talked about how important that is as well, but I want to go to the regular season part of that. Do you really believe that? Do you think that's really that important?
Talking about yesterday. Yeah. I mean, because I think at the end of the day, like, you want to position yourself as the best team in the SEC. And when you go back and you look at historically how Kentucky has done in winning the SEC regular season crown, it's north of 40%. It's not all the way to 50%. We know that the SEC tournament is just under 50% of the amount of times that Kentucky's won the SEC. But at the end of the day, it signifies that your team was ready to play for conference play, and that you had the best team in the Southeastern Conference. It signifies that you probably are going to play on Saturday, and which I think needs to happen, and more than likely play on Sunday. In some ways, to me, winning the SEC regular season is more indicative of the type of season they've had versus the SEC tournament. I do think they need to perform well in the SEC tournament, but we always go back to that 96 team. I mean, the 96 team got upset in the SEC championship game. The 2012 team got upset in the SEC championship game. So Mississippi State, I believe, took down the 96 team with Eric Dampier. 2012 team, I think, lost to Vanderbilt in the SEC final. And I'm going totally off memory on that.
I think the Vandy one's right for sure. Yes.
Yeah. Well, then I know the Mississippi State one's right.
Okay.
So when you look at it, it's like, you know, you need to have a solid regular season in conference play. It shows that your teams are prepared. Okay. This is conference victories come down to, you've got to have a really good team that's also prepared. And I look at the lack of SEC regular season titles from this Kentucky team as a lack of preparation from what it needed to happen to go into conference play. And then you don't have to win the SEC title in Nashville, but you need to be playing. You know, those seasons they lost in the championship game, it needs to look like your team's ready for postseason play, at least a little bit, and not going out in the first round.
Mike Gandolfo with us. He's from all of our UK post-game shows. Did a ton of extra work, of course, during the coaching search with the ESPN Louisville Plus platform
still
and
married.
All those kinds of things. What's that?
Still married because of it. You know.
still hanging out. How about that?
Still married.
Texter wanted to ask, so Gandolfo would love to get to the second weekend this season. Is that the standard now after you spent so much time demanding Final Fours from Cal? What are we doing here? The Texter would like to know.
No, I don't think it's the standard. The standard is Final Four. The standard is Final Fours and championships. But sometimes there's got to be progress, right? Like, let's not.
Are you saying that just
progress
for this season? I guess is what I would ask you after the Texter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's some. I think what fans want to see is progress. That they're working towards that. Now, if the progress stalls out the way like it does on the football side, I do not think what happens on the football side would be tolerated on the basketball side.
I agree.
So if the progress were to stall out where all it was second weekend, that's a different conversation to have. If he goes first three seasons without making it to the second weekend, his career at Kentucky is probably going to be pretty short. Maybe like three seasons, right?
I agree.
He could probably get to the second weekend and get that spread out to five. But if it looks like they're stalling out and they can't get past the Sweet 16 or they, you know, can't get past the Elite Eight, that's probably going to, you know, hinder his career at Kentucky. And at the end of the day, like, I think that they've got to build to where they can get back. Mark seems very in tune that his job is to put number nine up in the rafters. And I get the feeling that he is a smart guy. Obviously, what a Rhodes Scholar finalist or whatever, that he's going to surround himself with the right people, and they're going to continue to solve that problem and figure out what it's going to take for them to get there.
If you were Ben Roberts, I would point out that he dropped out of Columbia Medical School, and I would ask Ben, do you think he's going to go join the protests at Columbia? But you're not Ben, so I'm not going to do that.
I'm not Ben, and I don't think he's going to go join the protests at Columbia.
It's a good guess. Yeah, it's a good guess.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And he did not, you know, protest outside the Galt House during their off luncheon with the protesters either for that.
By the way, Texter backing me up, it was Vandy, and it was Festus Ezeli. I forgot about Festus Ezeli. How about that? That's a name for the
yeah.
That's
yeah.
a great
yeah,
basketball.
Right.
College basketball has the best names. It just does. It's okay.
It does.
It just
yeah,
does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Boo Booey, I mean, this year. We had God Sham God. I mean, there's been many great names in the history of college basketball.
Kentucky's women team had Treasure Hunt. I mean, it's fantastic, right?
That's so. Really good, actually, yes. Oh, man, yeah. Gandolfo with us. You mentioned the patience and how long fans will be patient with a guy like Mark Pope and the process. Let's call it the process, right? With the process of building this program into his sort of, his sort of design. What do you think that looks like? What does it have? You know, let's say they don't go to the second week in his first 2 years. What's BBN doing after 2 years?
He's probably going to feel some heat in that third year if he doesn't, right? Especially if there wasn't SEC tournament success. And especially if they feel like they're slipping, you know, in that first year, let's say they're third in the SEC regular season, they play on Saturday, and then the second year they're fifth in the SEC regular season and they get bounced early and they don't make it to the second weekend either round, you know, there's going to be some uneasiness. And, you know, I think if vice versa is true, if they're third and get bounced on Saturday, but the second year they're second or third again and they are playing on Sunday or they win the SEC regular season or the tournament championship and he gets bounced in the second round and doesn't make it to the second weekend, you know, maybe there's a little bit more leeway there because it looks like at least things are kind of progressing in the way that they want to. And, you know, at that point, he'll probably be having a roster that, If people look at the roster and they're like, hey, these people are coming back, this is good for us, versus there's going to be turnover and transfer portal stuff, then I think that all that stuff's going to be factored in. But eventually, I think that year three, to me, is going to be sort of the make and break. You know, are fans going to get on board or they're not going to get on board?
Which way do you
lean? And then, of course, you could have the dumpster fire like Billy Gillespie or Kenny Payne, and it only lasts 2 years, and then they're out anyway. So,
I was going to say, which way do you lean, that Mark Pope joins a long line of guys that as long as you show up and coach Kentucky, you win a title, or is he more likely not to join that list?
Well, I don't think it's just showing up and coaching Kentucky and win a title. I mean, I think there's got to be some talent and some coaching ability there. I mean, I think when you look at the coaches who have won a title at Kentucky, they're all extremely good at aspects of the job, and Pitino might have been good at all those aspects of the job. You know, that's it. Just to me, shows that you still have to be a championship quality coach, and that's no knock on someone like Eddie Sutton, who very well could have been a championship quality coach too. Just, you know, there was this whole Kentucky shame thing that happened there as well. So he obviously had success at other places, never won the national title, but was right there in consideration. I mean, I think Eddie Sutton's a basketball Hall of Famer, or at least a college basketball Hall of Famer. So. And those are things that when you look at those names, Tubby, Rick, Adolph Rupp, Joby Hall, I mean, you're talking about some of the best college basketball coaches ever, and John Calipari.
All right. Well, he's Mike Gandolfo. He'll be on the Derby draft tomorrow. Horse Racing Happy Hour at Horse Happy Hour on Twitter. We'll go live. I tried to not do it during our programming here, but we will go live at 4 o'clock.
Do I get to determine the draft order, by the way?
You get to determine the draft order. I would like to go last.
You want to go last? Okay.
Because I want pick four and five. I want pick four and five.
Oh, you want the snake draft. I get you. Okay.
We do a snake draft, and I want picks four and five.
Outside the top three.
I'm okay outside of the top three. I'm very comfortable, actually, outside the top three. Because I know who I'm going up. I'm already scouted who I'm going against and how they think. I know their general managers. I know their operations people. I feel very confident at four and five that I can pick the Kentucky Derby.
You might actually get the third horse, who we think, who you and I think is much higher than the third horse. But some people think the third horse could slip to four too at the same time.
100% it could. Yep.
So there okay.
You go. That's,
I like the strategy.
Okay, there you go. Don't hate the game. Hate the player.
I'm with you.
Plenty of hate for Mike Gandolfo. We'll talk to him next week on
love
this
it
show.
All. Bring it all the hate.
And we will right. 6 days of Gandolfo next week. People, get ready for it. Talk to you, Mike.
See you, bud.
There you go. Gandolfo. On a Wednesday, presented by our buddy Jason over at J. Shepherd Cigars. Get in there. Mention us at all. Get a Casa Pastor cigar. If you go online or call him, you can even email him, jshepherdlouisville@gmail.com. He will ship cigars to you at no extra cost. He will pay for the shipping, and he will throw in one of those Casa Pastor cigars for you. So if you are around the country listening to us and you just want to have cigars show up at your house and support one of the partners on this show, jshepherdlouisville@gmail.com. He'll ship them anywhere you are and include one of those Casa Pastor cigars. Really great time with him yesterday. Really thankful that he was able to host us yesterday. And as we get into Derby, best option for cigars in the city. More cigar talk. We do it next.
Here on ESPN 680-1057. Now, here's Louis Rabeau.
Not sure if we're doing it, but the recognizable guitar riff theme continues here on Rabeau. Go ESPN 680-1057. He's Zach Cantrell, ones and twos. I'm Louis Rabeau hanging out with you. Matzah pie, that is our lunch today. Those pizzas, the focaccia bread, the salads, the cookies. That dining experience in Anchorage, really different kind of spot. You can visit them, of course, Douglas Loop, Butchertown as well. Got those 1020 craft brews in all their locations. Matzah Pie, MOZZAPI.com. Go check them out. Any of those locations, man, they make those big sheet pizzas that we get, man. Those are just fantastic. That sourdough cannot be beat, so go check them out. Want to thank them for bringing lunch by the ESPN Louisville Studios. Again, 6 o'clock, Dan McDonald Show over on 93.9. Reds over here, and then we'll have Louisville Sports Live at 7 as well on the two sticks tonight here at ESPN 680. I promised Zach we would do NFL Draft. Indeed. Do we need music? Is this a thing? Do we need music here? We've talked about these great themes. What is the NFL Draft music?
It's just some generic off-brand
B-roll.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
They should have had NFL Primetime as the music, but...
What could you do? No, they play background music, do they not?
They typically do.
They have to, right? I know that for introducing the picks, but I feel like after they make the pick, there's music. Huh.
I think it's Primetime music.
Is it just Primetime? Okay, maybe. All right, okay. Well, anyways, we'll get into it. One of my favorite things that they do every year is they put out the coaches anonymously talking about draft picks.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want to piss off Zach Cantrell, get one of these articles out. That's what you got to do. You understand me. You get one of these articles together. Do that. I heard my man Strebel went after us yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
I think we understand where I side in that one.
Strebel, obviously.
Oh, man. Friday's closing day at Keeneland, so I'm going to go.
There you go.
Because I know this is going to be there.
You got to go.
I got to go. And frankly, next week's going to be busy. So Friday's my last chance to get out of the house. So I'm going to go do that. Marvin Harrison, Rome Odunze, and Malik Nabers above both of them. Harrison's not a number one to me, said an NFL receivers coach. Nabers is the number one on my list, and I think it's on a lot of people's lists. He's just different to me. I don't think it's anything towards Marvin. Nabers is that good. His skill with the ball and his hands are very different. So this goes to a larger
say, yeah. Do it again.
Stay off the weed.
Okay. If people are right, Brian Kelly should be arrested in Louisiana for what he did with that team last year.
I think he should be already.
If they're right, he did the worst possible job with a college team last year that anyone did in the United States. Because they're going to have, what, three guys in the top 10 on offense?
Jaden Daniels, for sure. Top three. Malik Nabers will be a top 10 pick.
Yes.
Brian Thomas could be a top 15 pick.
Right, boom, there you go. Okay, top half of the first round. Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Coaching malpractice, dude.
Coaching malpractice.
Really wild. I texted something to Dave Skull. We'll get into it later. But, dude, I this one... He's as fast as the person chasing him. He's going to run away from whoever. If Dion was chasing him, he'd go 4-2-1 or whatever. He's the best wide receiver prospect since Ja'Marr Chase on tape. I think he's even more impressive than Ja'Marr Chase. Okay.
Stop it. Stop it.
Stay off the weed is totally right.
Oh,
These kinds of... I love these. I do. And I know that Zach's actively pulling his hair.
We're talking about the best receiver prospect since Calvin Johnson, and now we're trying to say he's not the best in this draft class. Do people watch football anymore?
Nabers is so much more explosive. I think he has more upside. I don't know if I trust him like I trust Marvin. I trust Marvin to be disciplined. That's the thing about Marvin that is so obvious from... His body, how he runs routes.
Yes.
Everything about him screams he's going to be excellent in the NFL. Excellent.
And people say he doesn't have the dog in him or that work ethic. Well, he spent 2 hours after every Ohio State practice on the jugs machine. Sounds pretty disciplined to me.
He's also 3 inches taller.
That's also true.
Route
runner.
I think he is.
Malik Nabers is faster. I'll give him that. But it's not a big difference.
The fast guy isn't the number one guy.
No.
The fast guy is the number two guy, and you don't draft the number two guy in the top five.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You want him as the slot guy. That's where he can really fit in, is the slot guy or the number two guy.
Texture, they should do WWE-like intros for draft picks. It would be better than the walking up and dapping the commissioner
out of his
basement for the... By the way, him being in the basement in the easy chair for that draft
yeah,
is a top five sports moment.
That was the COVID draft.
So fantastic.
Yep.
I give him credit for that. That was funny.
Oh, no, he great.
Nailed it, right? It was
That's
great.
The best thing Roger Goodell's ever done as commissioner.
Yeah. Texture even more amazing was how many wide receivers Les Miles had at LSU and ran the ball 84 times.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Absolutely.
Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, had all those guys.
Oh, man. The copy machine's going nuts at the football complex, Texture. To be fair, LSU had the USC problem. Great offense and couldn't stop anyone.
No defense.
No defense on the LSU guys on that list you read. You're totally right about that.
Yeah, but
right.
Who's responsible for bringing the defense
boom.
In?
Boom, that's the other part. It's coaching malpractice not to put a full team together.
By the way, speaking of coaching malpractice, assuming Caleb Williams goes number one, which he will, Lincoln Riley would be the first.
But I think of Lincoln Riley as a bum. I thought the LSU thing with Kelly was going to work.
Lincoln Riley will be the first coach to ever have three different guys go number one overall in a draft.
Jeez.
Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Caleb Williams. And he has as many playoff wins as we do.
Do those other two guys make you question Caleb Williams?
No.
Mentality?
No.
Maturity?
Nope.
They're totally separate to you?
Totally separate.
Okay.
I try to evaluate each guy on their own.
I think that's fair.
I don't, like, last year people were trying to use the Ohio State quarterbacks suck in the NFL excuse against C.J. Stroud when I think everybody saw that C.J. Stroud was different than all those guys. I think it's just a lazy narrative people like to throw out there. I try to research guys on my own and just look at guys as their own player rather than the background.
After those three, they go to Brian Thomas, of course, at LSU. Who's built similarly eerily to Harrison at longer reach, and he ran a 4.33 40. How good are these guys at running the 40 now?
Oh, they train.
They're
fantastic.
For it. Yeah, it's incredible how much they do that. Offensive assistant talking about him. As long as he's running post and go balls, it's fantastic. The rest of the route tree is where he loses a lot. We're talking about the third or fourth receiver here.
Correct.
You don't have those concerns with Marvin Harrison Jr.
None.
This is the thing I don't understand about the top of that position draft. Xavier Worthy in here as well. The guy that is down the list a little bit, and I wish the guy were a little taller, is Roman Wilson from Michigan.
Yeah.
Because he's a good receiver. Great hands.
He's a possession guy.
But he's a possession guy. Now, that guy now has a place in the NFL.
Yes. He'll carve out a good career for himself.
That's right, because the hits over the middle are not what they used to be.
Sure.
They just aren't, and I think a guy like that can do it. The guy from the ACC, though, that stands out, Keon Coleman of Florida State, is unbelievable. He's built for the NFL. He looks like the NFL. He's going to be really, really
good. Jump ball guy, good speed.
That's exactly right.
He's got great red zone target.
Yep.
He'd start his career
good
at Michigan
speed.
State.
He's not terribly explosive off the line.
Doesn't have to be.
Correct. In the NFL, you don't have to be as much. In college, they're pushing, they're shoving. NFL's a lot less.
Yep.
Right? And so I think for sure, he's one of those guys, you watch him in college, they're better in the NBA. He's one of these guys, could be better in the NFL.
And I know we do this every year, but I think this year might actually be the best receiver class that I've ever seen. Quarterback class gets all the attention. All these wide receivers, I would be very surprised if all these guys don't hit to their own various ways. Xavier Worthy seems like the perfect Raider because, of course, he broke the combine record. And Al Davis, if he were alive, all he would do is draft the fastest guy at the combine every year. But he's, I think, going to be a good receiver at the next level. I really have liked Roma Dunze. I thought he was the second best receiver going into the year. Now Malik Nabers has gotten all that attention, and I don't necessarily disagree with it. But there's still a gap. It's Marvin Harrison Jr., and there's everybody else. What about his play last year convinced you otherwise? Everybody said going into last year, Marvin Harrison Jr. is either the number one or two pick in this draft, and by far the number one receiver. And then he went out and had 14 touchdowns with a bum quarterback.
It's pretty good. But I mean, like, think about how deep this class is that you get into, like, Ladd McConkey at Georgia is like the 15th guy or something, or the 12th guy or something.
And he's very good.
Even Malachi Cordley down at Western Kentucky.
Steve Smith had him in the top 10 of his receivers, and I don't disagree with it. Malachi Cordley is very good.
He's very good.
He catches a lot of balls.
Someone compared him to Golden Tate. I don't think that's terribly off, but I think he's got better hands than Golden
Tate. He's got better hands than Golden Tate.
Yes.
He's not as big as Golden Tate.
He's not.
So I don't think he can take as many hits.
I think that's.
I think he'll have a nice career as a slot guy.
Yeah.
Western Kentucky. That's a place you want to go if you're a quarterback or a receiver. You just want to put up a ton of yards and a ton of stats and get drafted. That's
not
a bad
place
to go. You'll
get drafted. Exactly right. Yes. People asking about Caleb Williams. Is he ready to be a QB1? Quote: Caleb has a lot of stuff that he is going to have break in the NFL. Now look, that's part of what you love about him. Those are guys. Those are great plays in college, but not when Myles Garrett is rushing you. That's a great line, by the way. I love that. I like Caleb as a player, but the locker room part of it concerns me. I don't know him from a can of paint, but from what I've heard and what I've seen from watching interviews, he doesn't seem he's going to have to understand the difference in where he's at and how he's going to be treated treated to being the quarterback in an NFL locker room. That system is one that they've got going that when they get to the NFL, they really have to learn football like Kyler Murray or Baker Mayfield. So that's the interesting part here about Lincoln Riley, is he will get you drafted.
Yeah.
And his system will get you drafted really high in the draft. Number one, three times. But boy, think about that. Taking a guy three times at number one that mm-hmm. you know you've got to teach football to.
Well, Baker turned out to be pretty good his rookie year and then turned out to be pretty good his third year. And obviously was very good last year. I think Kyler Murray is probably the better example of this because, of course, Kyler Murray had a famous clause in his contract about how he has to study film instead of playing video games. So I didn't see people having to teach Baker how to play football. When I watched him his first couple of years, I don't think they had to teach him how to play. I'm not concerned about Caleb Williams. I'm not. I think Caleb Williams, part of the thing that happened to him last year was he knew that he had to go out and score 40 points every game or his team was going to lose.
I will say this about Caleb Williams. This quote I heard and I smiled because the Ennis quote from the show yesterday that they were just so happy to get Zach Wilson instead of Russell Wilson.
That's right.
Quote, he gives off a Russell Wilson vibe with his lack of self-awareness. I'm kind of above everybody. Woo! I don't think that's the kind of vibe you want to be having about
no.
you as a quarterback. Someone asked about Brock Bowers. If that texter doesn't mind, we will get to the rest of this stuff on the other end. We do need to do Bologna or Salami at some point. Zach, would you like to just keep the draft talk going? And we could do Bologna or Salami at 11:20.
Yeah.
Okay.
Care.
All right. Let's take a break now. We'll wrap up the hour here. Want to remind you of some of our partners on this show. Of course, you can check them out. Always use our promo code in horse racing, manscaped.com. 20% off your order. Free shipping to your house no matter what you order, whether it's the beard trimmer that Zach's tried, more of the straight razor stuff that I use. All of it is really, really great. Manscaped.com. Use our promo code horse racing for 20% off and free shipping to your house as well. More NFL draft talk. We're going to keep going on it here. Rabo & Co. ESPN 680, 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.